Well, God bless your hearts. Wonderful to be with all of you this morning. You know, what I'm going to share with you is something that has really been gelling on my heart and just thinking more and more about the subject. I believe what I'm going to share with you is the most important thing I've shared up to this time in my life. So I trust you'll listen carefully, that you'll receive the word and you'll put it in your heart and walk out on it. We're going to go to Romans. Last Wednesday, I started a series of teachings where we're going to look into the book of Romans. And I've titled this Man's True Freedom. I believe every man that's ever lived, man or woman ever lived, sought liberty, freedom, that they could do what is on their heart to do. For the most part, most people have lived in condemnation, bondage, and fear, and have not experienced true freedom. We're going to be looking at four words, and I encourage you to remember these four words. They're kind of in a pair. Two of them, I don't mind if you forget them later on, but for the purpose of this teaching, listen carefully. The other two words, I want you to hang on to those for the rest of your life. You know, when we talked about the book of Romans, we compared it to the Declaration of Independence. You know, as American citizens, we treasure our Declaration of Independence. It was the statement that said we are free, that God has given us rights, unalienable rights, that cannot be taken away, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We died for that. That's so much tied in the nature of the American spirit. This book of Romans is a spiritual declaration of independence for all mankind. You know, we realize there is no greater freedom man can experience than to know that he has the righteousness of God, that he is right before God, his maker, the greatest freedom in the whole world, and that God has given us freedom from death. Every man's fear from the day he's born is that someday he will die. How do you deal with that? Let's go to Romans 8:2. It's on the screen here for you. You folks on a conference call, unless you have x-ray vision, you won't be able to see it. But if you go to your Bibles, Romans 8:2. We want Romans 8:2. This is like the overall theme of what I want to share with you. For the law of the Spirit of life in who? Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of two things. God could have put anything in there, but what two things are we set free from? The law of sin and death. Sin and death. Those are two of the words I want you to remember. Later on, if you want to forget them, you can. But for the purpose of this teaching, make note. We came to the realization that our liberty in Christ is the ultimate pinnacle of truth. It is more real than any liberty that man could ever devise. And what is the source of that? God's Word, John 8. John 8:32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free. And then down at verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. God's word is the ultimate truth. Man's true freedom from death, from bondage, from fear and oppression comes through a knowledge of God's word. and understanding what it says, and most specifically, the foundational truths that are in the book of Romans. It is the foundational source of man's true freedom. So let's dive into this wonderful book of Romans and see what we have. Now, I shared some of these things last Wednesday. I encourage you to check that teaching out. So we're going to do a quick review here, okay? So in Romans chapter 1, I don't have this for you on the screen, but I want to share this with you. Please follow along in your Bibles. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So this book is all about Christ and what he has done. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, go there, we've got that on the screen here. Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for what is it? It's the power of God. The gospel, the good news, God's word is the power of God unto what? Salvation. Salvation means to be saved. Every man is dying without God, without hope. God wants to save every person. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, right? He wants everybody to get saved. And here it is, the gospel, God's word, the word about Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that does what? Believeth. Believeth. That's so key in believing. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek, and the Italians, and the Yugoslavs. No. Okay, the word Greek in the Bible refers to Gentiles, and that's everybody that's not a Jew, okay? So it covers everybody. 4, verse 17, therein is the righteousness of God. How right is God? Do you have enough words to describe it? You don't. He is right. God is right. Therein, therein is Christ, right? So this salvation has the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, and it is written, the just shall live by faith, by believing. So the answer is given here, believing upon Christ. And then in this section here, in chapter 1, God builds the case that man in no way could do his own trip. We try, man does everything he can to be his own God, to do his own thing. But in the word here, it's amazing what God does to communicate the depravity of man. And what does he use to show the lowest point that man could ever get to? The depravity of man. Homosexuality. In chapter 1 here, it's at the end of chapter 1. Read the last few verses, and you'll see that God uses homosexuality to show and compare how warped man has gotten to use their wonderful God-made body illegally, against nature. I didn't write the book. I know in our society and culture, it's okay. Does God think it's okay? Not at all. And listen, I am not against homosexuals. I've had the opportunity to help homosexuals get straight. Get onto the word. That's what really counts. So no problem with people. God loves everybody, and he doesn't care what they are. Because he'll save any and everybody, regardless of who they are, what they do. So let's don't go pointing fingers or anything else like that. Let's bring all men to a truth of the gospel so that all men can believe on Christ. Thanks for your amens there. Right on. So, I mean, God puts this in his word. Why did he put this there? It shows the deep contrast of what's right and what is wrong. Okay, so he moves on through into chapter 2 and 3, talks about man judging, putting himself before God, and God's response to man's attempt to rule himself and to try to be like God. And let's see where we can see what God does with that response. So this is what is available in light. He says, hey, man, you can't get it right here. Romans chapter 3, verse, I don't think I have this on the slide here, but verse 10. As it is written, 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not how many? Not even one. And then later in verse 12, he says, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. God makes a point here that man can't do it. And that's what he's sharing in these chapters in Romans. Man can't do it. So what is the recourse? Yeah, God. Chapter 3, verse 22. We've got that on a slide here. I'm going to read verse 21, then we'll look at verse 22. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. God doesn't, he's not prejudiced against anybody. If they believe the gospel, they can get saved. This is talking about righteousness, God's righteousness, not man's righteousness, but God's righteousness. For all have what? Verse 23. All have sinned. We all fall short, right? And come short of the glory of God. But then we see in verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You know, we played that song, just justified, right? Just as if I'm not sinned. And now, God has justified us freely by his grace through who? Jesus Christ. Yeah, isn't that fantastic? Through the redemption, the payment that he did on the cross so that you and I could be saved in the family of God. What a great reality that we need to realize and hold on to. Okay. Well, let's go to chapter 5. And this is where I want to really zero in on, is chapter 5. And verse 1. Therefore, you know, you ask the question when you see the word therefore, why is it therefore? Therefore being justified, it's there as a result of the justification that Christ accomplished for each and every man. So this section deals with the results or the fruit of justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have what with God? Peace. It's not a fight with God. It's not a sense of condemnation or guilt when we come before the Heavenly Father. We have peace. How can we have peace with anybody? Because we're right. Okay, we have the righteousness of God, so we can come fully and open before the Heavenly Father. Oh my goodness, what a great reality. There's no greater truth than what we're talking about here. That you are right before God, you have His righteousness, and you have peace because of that. And you can go to Him. Man, we've got to get more answers to prayer. We're just falling short, and I'm talking about myself. Because I fall short too. But if I recognize that God has made me righteous before Him, I have peace with Him, how can my believing be? It can be solid. I can trust in Him. Because I can go to Him and know that He does deliver, that He does heal. Verse 2, by whom also we have what? Access by faith, by believing into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Wow. Hallelujah. Man, oh man. What great realities we have. Look at verse 5. Verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. We're born again of the Holy Spirit. And that has the love of God. And that love of God is shed abroad. It's poured out. Some of the translations say you're flooded. It's poured out in your hearts. We have the love of God. And when we walk day in and day out, don't forget that. You have the love of God oozing in your life. And we can live it. We can share it. We can be it. We have peace with God. We have His righteousness. We are loaded. It's amazing, isn't it? Wow. Verse 8. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. There's a wonderful figure in this chapter here, the much mores. You know, it's used several times. I forget how many times it's used. I think it's 5 or 6 times, much more. Because when you talk about God, it's not a little bit, it's much more. So much more, we're justified. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And that atonement means a restoration to favor. We have received a restoration to favor. God looks upon us, and what does He see? His righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We have peace with Him. Man, oh man, doesn't that open the door for great fellowship? Phenomenal. Verse 15. Let's jump a little bit here to verse 15. I think we have that one on the slide. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Now, what's going to happen here from verse 15 all the way through to the end of this chapter? God is again going to show proof of what He did to legally justify us and mankind through Christ. And it's a fabulous section in here in that He just doesn't say a few words. He really gets into it. Let's look at some of it. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, and who was the offense of one? Adam. Many be dead, much more, there's a little much more sneaking in there, the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And He just goes on and on here. Just not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned, and see, this is the thing we deal with, sin and death. Those are the two aspects that man has to deal with, sin and death, every man, every person. And look what God did to deal with that. For if by one man's offense death reigned, by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Boy, that puts it together, doesn't it? Isn't that a fabulous verse there? And it's true, it's right. Reigning in life. Death reigns in life, but not our life. No more. Why? Because we have eternal life. God has given us eternal life. He has given us His righteousness that cancels out sin, and He's given us eternal life that cancels out death. Those are the two pairs of words you want to remember. Go ahead and forget about sin and death if you want, but let's remember we are righteous before Him and that we have eternal life through Him. Verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, we saw that in verse 17, as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that neat how God has communicated this? He really sets it in this book of Romans. Our true freedom in Christ. Because we are free from the two bondage things that just destroy men today, and that's sin and death. We have God's righteousness and His eternal life living within us. I love verse 1 of chapter 6, because after reading this, what's the response? What shall we say about this? What shall we say then? Well, let's have a dance and celebrate. My goodness, we have it so great, so wonderful. Well, let's see what the verse does say. 6:1, what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, we know better now. We don't have to live in sin anymore. We live the righteousness of God in us. Hey, we fall short. I get it. But we have the righteousness of God to go back on every time, His forgiveness. How many times didn't somebody ask Jesus, well, how many times should we forgive our brother? And what did He say? 7 times 77 or something? I'm sorry, I don't remember the details on that. But it was a lot, a whole lot. You know, and we have that forgiveness. We have the opportunity. Each and every day is a new day with Christ because we have His righteousness. Okay. So verse 2 says what? God forbid. God forbid that we do continue in sin. We don't want to. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Yeah, and then this goes on so beautifully. Here, this chapter 6, verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Why can we walk in newness of life? Because we have a new life. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. We are righteous before Him. We have eternal life. Yeah, it's fantastic. Fantastic. Can't beat it. Verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves also. Come to the conclusion of the same thing, that yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. We're dead to sin. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, in our flesh body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. There's those two great points that we can live, that we yield ourselves to, that we are alive from the dead, and we are instruments of righteousness. And we can be instruments of righteousness because we have God's righteousness in us. Man, oh man, isn't this a wonderful book? This Romans really does it. And I trust you see the great liberty that we have in Christ. No sin, no death. Those should not be issues for us anymore. They've been taken care of by Jesus Christ. We've been made righteous and given eternal life. What a life we have. You know, this is our true and great foundation of true freedom. So we have the privilege to live it, to be it, to share it. And what a glory it's going to be when Christ comes back and we can celebrate this whole reality that we are Christ and He is ours. So Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful love and care for us, that we can see the depth of your heart, your love, your care, that you would pay the ultimate price with your Son so that we can be right before you, that we can have peace with you, that we have free and open access because we have your righteousness, and that you've taken care of the death issue as we have eternal life. Someday Christ is going to come back. We'll have those new bodies and we'll be forever with the Lord. And what a great hope we have. So Father, thank you for these truths. I pray that they permeate the hearts of each and every person that's heard this sharing, and they can walk out as wonderful instruments of righteousness. And I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right.